Well, he's telling what the experience was of the people who come in, and they took these steps. He says, these are the steps we took, which so-and-so and so-and-so. So, we took them. He's telling how it's supposed to be taken. I don't say everybody took them that way. No.
His question is, did Bill write that by himself from rarely?
Oh, no, Bill didn't write that stuff. That we stole it from the Oxford movement. They stole it from somebody else. Oh yeah, the Oxford group was a life-changing, it was a spiritually motivated group, and it spread all over the world. It was a very powerful fellowship, and they, Frank Buckman originated the Oxford group at Oxford College in England with a bunch of college kids, and that thing caught fire, and it spread all over the world, and they had a way of getting their members, they used an inverted pyramid. What they did, they attracted outstanding names, big names, like the Firestones, the Goodyears, and they had a lot of Maharajas and heads of state and heads of governments that belonged to that Oxford movement at one time. It was a very powerful thing. And they figured that when some of these big wheels get in there, presidents of different outfits and congressmen and that, the small fry like you and I would like to get in there and rub elbows with them. So that's how they attracted their people. But they had a good program. They did a lot of good till the connivers got too busy in there, and they ruined it. A lot of good spiritual outfits have been ruined by greed. And you want to watch out for that in AA too. Yes, sir. Immediately, when you ask God to remove them, he takes them away from you. They're gone. Now you got to learn how to keep them gone, and you do that in the last three steps. Right? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, same thing. Same difference. Yes, ma'am. Well, I do. I don't want anybody messing around with my people if I'm taking them through, because there's too many screwballs around that upset everything I'm doing. When I take somebody through the steps, Grace don't even come in on it. She has her own. When she takes them through, she does it. I don't bother unless she asks me something. Yes. Yeah.
What is a recovered alcoholic?
It's very simple. A recovered alcoholic, you're looking at one. You recover after once you take the steps. When you go through these steps, you're recovered. Until that time, you're not. When you take the medicine, you get well. This is the medicine to make us well. And you get you can unrecover. You can unrecover, just like I think I told some people today. You take TB, tuberculosis, that's a terminal illness. But you can go to the doctor, he can give you certain prescriptions and certain rest and certain diet and one thing another. If you follow out what he does, you can add a lot of years of your life, you can recover. But if you violate it, you can unrecover and die. We got the same thing here. You're recovered once you take the medicine. Thank you. I went over the steps with people. Yes, all of this stuff would be sent to us, the whole book would be sent to us in Akron, and we'd blue pencil it, red pencil it, and send it back with our suggestions, and sometimes they'd blithely ignore it, and other times they'd take some of the suggestions, but they put in pretty well what they wanted to up there. Until that God business came, we had an awful battle on that deal, and that's why we compromised, as I understand him. Yeah, it was a composite work of a lot of people. It wasn't any one person that did this whole thing. Actually, Hank Parkhurst, Wilson's secretary, or Wilson's partner, I would say Hank had more to do with the writing of this book and the putting together this book than Bill did. But you never hear of Hank. I see one reference in that one book, Henry P. I never see anything else. And that guy was a powerhouse. What is that?
Why wasn't there 12 chapters? Not 11?
Oh, I don't know that. It isn't necessary. I'll tell you, the only thing that's the real necessity in that whole book is chapter 5. Now, a lot of that book was written, remember, that book was written in 1938. That's a long time ago. And a lot of water has gone over the dam since that time, and we've learned a lot of things. As the book says, we will hope to learn more. And it also says you may meet some of us on your happy road to destiny and all that stuff. This was written way back in 38, and we didn't have a whole lot of experience then, see? And in New York, they had less experience where most of this was written than we had in Akron, see? But we have learned a lot of things. But when you get right down to the nitty-gritty of this whole thing, the book originally was written for this one purpose, which at least they told us this, that we put it in book form, and it would reach people where we couldn't reach by word of mouth. So figure that this book would be written, and some guy out here in Podunk out here somewhere would read the book and catch fire and start helping people. That's the purpose of the book. So that was what it was originally supposed to be. But we've learned a lot of things since then. I didn't do this kind of activity with people back in those old days. It was entirely different. I made them surrender, but I didn't have the whole thing down the way I have now. Over the years, I've learned some things, as we all do as time goes by. But actually, when you get down to analyze that big book, the main issue in that book is chapter 5. That tells you the whole story. That's the whole ball of wax, because there's where you learn how to get your life changed. That's where you make your surrender, and that's where you learn to go out and do your missionary work. Yes, sir.
When did you guys start to identify yourself beyond just an alcoholic? You hadn't recovered, or suggested to add recovered, or a real alcoholic, or a grateful alcoholic, or a drug alcoholic.
When did you
guys start that?
I didn't start it.
I hear a lot of it now.
I hear a lot of stuff.
Huh?
When
did you guys start doing?
I don't encourage that kind of stuff. Nobody accused me of that. I don't stand for that kind of nonsense at all. I'm a fundamentalist. I believe in what it says in that fifth chapter, and that's it, period. I believe in taking a person like yourself. If you need this and want it, I'll take you through this and teach you how to live. That's my job. And that's my mission here. But all this stuff that they've been putting into AA nowadays, forget it. So I say you better be very careful what intrusions are coming into our fellowship, because some of them are not the best things for us. Yes, sir. You have asked a very pointed question, and it is a good one. And I'll tell you this, you can't choose a sponsor. A sponsor should choose you. They've got this ass backwards, too. Yes, sir.
So what do you tell someone that's been around 8 months and nobody's chosen him yet?
You did what?
I say, what do you say to somebody that's been around for a little while and nobody's chosen him yet?
Nobody approaches him? They haven't picked him?
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the setup in your group. The thing is, here's what it originally was meant to do, and we did this for a long time. But as I say, a lot of things change. You couldn't walk into one of the meetings where I used to go. In Cleveland, Ohio, you could not walk into a meeting. Nobody knew where they were in the first place. There's none of their business in the second place. And we didn't have to all this crying about anonymity in the third place because we didn't need it. But you couldn't walk into a meeting. Someone had to bring you. Now, if I got your name, I'd go get in touch with you or get in touch with your wife and then get in touch with you, whatever. I would get you prepared for a meeting, and when you're ready for a meeting, I'd take you to a meeting. And then you'd join that group, and I'm your sponsor. I teach you the program. People come in now, and this is absolutely the most asinine thing, one of the most asinine. Some guy will come in and say, get yourself a sponsor. How can that guy pick a sponsor? He's going to pick another dingbat like himself. He isn't going to get somebody that's going to be hard on him, that's going to teach him. He'll meet another flake. This is a fact. He doesn't know how to pick a sponsor. How is he going to do it? The poor guy's coming in there scared to death and defeated and in all kinds of trouble. He should pick out some guy to sponsor him. He might pick a Chinaman that don't even talk his language. Who knows? It's silly. Somebody, when someone comes into your group meeting, somebody should nail that person and talk to them, see if they belong anywhere. If they don't, take them in charge. And if you don't have the time to sponsor him, find somebody for him. That's our job. This thing, the way people wander in and out of AA today, it's ridiculous. They yammer and squawk and squall about anonymity. Don't tell anybody you belong. But they open their meeting, let any dingbat walk in there. He can sit there and look the crowd over and find out who has a nuisance value, you know? It's crazy. Yes, sir.
So, I've been coming around AA for quite a while, and I'm in 5 months sober now. When I came to AA, I had a woman approach me and work with me at 12-step meeting. And I kept asking her, I said, I've never had 5 or 6 years that I've been around AA, and I had asked one or two people to sponsor me. I've never had anybody give me any direction. I've never had anybody work with me like you're working. Brought out a lot of pain in me, and racked me over the coals pretty good, but I knew that she was helping me too. And she would go through the I got as far as the first 3 steps with her, and go word by word, and really, what does that mean to you? This is what it means. Mm-hmm. And so I worked with her. So many people told me you can't have a woman sponsor. And this was the only person that had ever really given up himself.
I hope she was good and ugly, because you're a handsome guy. But no, here's the thing. Some people cannot, being the emotional kind of people we are, a whole lot of people cannot do this sponsoring crossways. A man can't sponsor women or women men because of an emotional situation. But there are some people who can do that. They keep their eye on the spiritual instead of on the physical. And this is a problem that a lot of people have. They do all their spiritual work below their belt. And this can be very... But some people can rise above that. And of course, if some man hadn't, I tell you that frankly, I'm the guy that brought women into AA. Bill Wilson and Doc Smith wanted nothing to do with female AAs, female alcoholics. They had thumbs down. There was an awful double standard in those days, but I'm the guy that brought the first gals in. And it never hurt me, and I don't think I hurt any of them. Some of them managed to recover and are still going around and doing all right. But yeah, there's a very strong problem, very acute problem there that you can get mixed up in this girl-boy stuff, and that very often happens. In fact, a lot of people walk into AA looking for stuff like that. I'll never forget Pop Green in Washington, D.C. Old man Green, Bill Green was his name. He used to be the major domo of that club, and everyone that came to that club, he interviewed them to find out if they belonged there, if they were alcoholics or what they're looking for. So this fellow, Bob Rathke, he and I run around every once in a while, and we just came back from a trip up through Virginia and Maryland and up through there. And when he came in 25 years ago, Bill interviewed him, and he was like this. Poor old Bob was in a bad shape, coming off an awful drunk, and he wanted help. So Bill talked it to him and qualified him enough to know that he's looking for something. So he gives him some fatherly advice. Old Bill Green was an older man. He was a real old guy. He was 70 years old. And he says to Bob, he says, Bob, he says, I want to tell you something. Lots of people come to this club. He says, some of these men are coming here to get sobriety, and some of these women are coming here to get sobriety. There are some men coming here to get women. There are some women coming here to get men. He says, there's some men coming here to get men, and there's some women coming here to get women. He says, be careful who you associate with here, because you meet all kinds. I can't hear you, dear. Come on up front where we can look at you. You look pretty from up here. I can't hear her. I can't hear a word you say. Her sponsor's a man? Well, that's all right. Trying to sponsor what?
How long should you be sober before you sponsor?
Well, I think you should go through the steps and have something to carry. You have a message to carry. There is no exact time limit to it, but it depends on what you have to give away. See, we are there to carry a message. I told you the other night, I talked about my efforts to get a message. It took me 7 months to get a message because the evidence of that is it took me 7 months to sell my first person this idea after talking to hundreds of people. But it depends. If you've gone through this program, if this person's gone through these steps and he is spiritually oriented, that's the time he can go out and sponsor. He may not. I think that any person starting out and doing 12-step work should go with someone else who's experienced, because there's things to learn about 12-step work. I think it's a matter of education. I don't think any person ought to go on a 12-step call alone. I don't care if you're a man or a woman, you should go double. You can get an awful lot of problems going by yourself in AA things. Believe me, you can. Don't ask me, I'll tell you. Yes. Good for you. Two resentments and a pot of coffee, and we start a new group.
And what it is basically seeing so much non-AA literature in AA meetings.
It just says what?
Seeing so much non-AA literature in AA meetings.
Well, I don't think you should resent that. I think there's a lot of literature that comes in AA meetings. In some places I've seen that are better than some of that stuff that we have. Really. Fact of the matter, let me tell you this. I'm a little bit prejudiced, I must agree. We all have prejudices. I think we'd be dead if we didn't. But some time ago, our delegate, he's a pretty good guy. He's the smartest one we ever had. He's the only one that had any sense. And this guy came to me one day. He says, Clarence, I'm about to go to New York. He says, do you have any suggestions on what I might throw on the table up there? I said, yeah. I says, find out for me who writes this literature that you call literature. He says, what's the matter with it? I says, boy, I'm telling you, whoever writes this stuff must be having nightmares. I says, some of this stuff is awful. He says, like for instance, I says, well, you got a suitcase full of it there. Pull out your sponsorship pamphlet. I want to show you something. So he pulls it out, and I read on this pamphlet, this comes out of New York. This is Mecca talking. It's telling about what a sponsor should or shouldn't do. Now remember, this is a spiritually oriented program that's based on God, and he's the one that does the changing of our lives. It says there, a good sponsor who is an atheist, now get that one. How do you like them apples? How can a good sponsor be an atheist? A good sponsor who is an atheist will not try to convert people to atheism, neither will a person try to convert an atheist into any other belief. Now, what kind of stuff is that to put on an AA pamphlet? Somebody don't know their hind end from third base about what this program is, or they'd never put anything like that in a pamphlet. Don't get me started on that stuff. It's... Yes, sir. If you want to get in touch with Grace or I about your steps?
Well, I mean, to go through this procedure, this two-day procedure you're talking about.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you would have to phone us or and tell us, and we'd see if we are going to be in town. Don't call us this year, though, because we got so many commitments. I've been on the road now for about 5 or 6 weeks.
We don't take new babies. We said we don't get new babies.
We don't get new babies.
We don't get new babies.
We don't.
Anybody that comes and talks, we just don't happen to get new babies.
If I get a new person, I usually turn them over to somebody I've sponsored. Now we get people that have been around AA with various results, and they're not happy, they're miserable. And they come down and we teach them the program like I just went over it. This is what we do with them.
What you, Grace, in other words, you're saying you don't get anybody just brand new into AA.
Hardly ever.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Rarely ever. Brand new. We get people that have been in, that have problems, and finally have to do something. That's usually when we get, it's not that we don't
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I'm Jackie Miller. I want to ask a question for myself because I had a little bit of guilt going. 2 years ago, I had 17 12-step calls right after the first of the year. There was one every day. And I can't sponsor that many people.
Well, you're not supposed to. You give them to somebody else. You can't sponsor all those people. You can't. You go crazy. You know, you turn them over to somebody else. Keep them all busy. Yes, ma'am.
What do you think of someone having more than one sponsor?
I don't think a thing of it. They shouldn't have. They should have one sponsor.
Well.
I don't want anybody screwing up the people I'm sponsoring. I got a way of doing it, and I don't want anybody running them off the track. One sponsor, that's it. Yes, sir. Sir?
AA clubs.
AA clubs. What do you think about them, Clarence?
Well, there are some good clubs and there are some not so good clubs. We had a good club in our town and they threw us out of it. So I don't know. Clubs are all right in their way, but here's what generally, if they use them properly, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them turn out to be a bum's hangout and a loafer's retreat. And they're a dating society and stuff like that. And they, if they're run properly, there are some good ones around the country, but a lot of them leave a lot to be desired. I don't think we need them so badly as probably once we did, because people can find things to do with their time without hanging around a club all the time. But some people want them, that's their option. They can have them if they want. Personally, I don't belong to any of them. Thank you. Well, anybody else want to start a fight? That's what we call unity. Yes, ma'am, you want to fight? I can't hear you, dear. How many people should sponsor a person at one time? Oh, I don't think you can handle more than one at a time. It takes an awful lot of time and takes a lot of praying. It takes a lot of work to handle a person to get his life turned around. I don't think you can. Yes?
If you're sponsoring a person, your job is to take them through the steps, and how long after that do you stay with that person as a sponsor? Because you can really
Hopefully, you make a lifelong commitment to a person. Hopefully. I have taken people through their program, and they have lived for many, 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 many years, and we are the closest of friends. I have also taken people through steps years and years ago who have nothing to do with me. A bunch of them voted me out of AA one time. That's when we had our first unity in Cleveland. We split in three groups, not two. No, I think hopefully, you have a lifelong commitment and friendship with a person. You ought to have.
Clarence, you just got through mentioning that you should only have one sponsoree at a time. And you mean to say you've only sponsored one person and kept them all your life?
No, I don't keep them, but you keep an association with people.
Only you, one?
One person?
You said you can sponsor only one person at a time.
I can only sponsor, they're asking me, we're talking about introducing them to the program and becoming their teacher. Yeah, you can't go ahead. We had to do otherwise one time. When they were coming in so fast, we had to teach them in classes. But it isn't necessary to do that now. There's plenty of people here that should be sponsoring someone. So everybody should be busy with somebody. But at one time when we only had a limited number of people there, and we were getting hundreds and hundreds of inquiries every week, we had to do something to absorb them. That's why we got those meetings going on, those training meetings we call them, where these men would come up to us and we teach them 100, 200 people in a group there. So we don't have to do that anymore. There's plenty of people here ought to be busy sponsoring somebody, teaching someone. It's good for you as well as it is for the other person. Yes, ma'am.
Clarence, I think you misunderstood me. But you said that you should only sponsor one person at a time.
Yeah.
And it should be a lifelong relationship, but some of them dislike and all that. Well, what you mean is guide them through the steps. Teach them through the steps one person at a time.
Right.
And then go on maybe to another. In other words, you can sponsor more than one person.
That's right. Because that person you're sponsoring has more bloody problems that you've got to help him with. Yes, who is over here? Yes, ma'am.
I don't have a question, but I just wanted to share something. It was very much what you're talking about as far as sponsoring and clubs and people approaching you and not being quite so anonymous and all this. When my husband and I were first married, we lived next door to some people who had an awful good time. But we didn't know what they did. And it was an Alano club, we thought. And he was literally bouncing off of their walls. And until the last 2 years, we still didn't know what they did over there or what this club represented. So it cost us another 12 years to find out about Alcoholics Anonymous. And their best candidate was next door.
There you are. Somebody wasn't carrying the message, were they? You see, okay. Here's what you. I was going to say something. I forgot what it was. It's old age. Now, we are obliged to let people know. We are the only people that can let them know. Like I told you, Grace does. She tells everybody. If we go hiding putting our candle under a bushel, nobody sees it. We got to go out and tell people. And there's plenty of people to be told. And you don't have to run to the jails and the nut houses to do it. Your prospects are in your own group. Your prospects are your next door neighbor. The prospects are the people you work with. They're all around. The prospects you'll sit next door to in church might be your own preacher. They're everywhere. So these are the people we look for. You don't have to look in the gutters for these people. They're all in their own gutters. We got to cut this off. He's pulling on my coat here. The rent's due. So something's wrong. I don't know what it is. I'm willing to stay till tomorrow, but some of them don't.
Your wife directed me to.
I know she did. You listen to her, I don't.
You don't have to shut up.
Anybody else got one question before we close? Because we're going to close it up. Well, anyway, it's been a great being with you and visiting. We've enjoyed our trip here. We've enjoyed meeting you all. And I hope some of you come down to visit us sometime in Florida. A lot of you have our flyers there for our retreat Labor Day. Come on down. If you come, fly into Orlando and let us know when and what your flight number is, and someone will meet you there and take you to the retreat grounds. And you'll enjoy it. Thank you. Yeah. I didn't hear you. Yeah. Be sure those pictures go in the paper. She's a pretty one. Smile.
I don't know who's taking that you off that plane. Leave for now.
You can say something.
Say something.
God bless you. I love you all, but I love that man I'm married to, too. And this is by far not the last talk he'll make this week or this month or this year. And I hate to see him stand on the podium 3 hours or better. I know you have questions, but we've been here 5 days. I'm not going to tell you how much longer we're going to be here. We're leaving in the morning. But as Clarence told you, he is 80 years old, and I know you have a lot you want to learn. And you people ought to get together here in this desert. And we were asked today to come back here the second week in July next year. And you ought to get here early, and we'll come early, and we'll be available to you. But not 3 hours at a stint for him on a podium. That's a little bit hard. I love you, and please understand, but I want him a long time, kid.
Right on.
I'm a good woman. I know when I've got the best years in the world.
Yeah.
I think that's